This is definitely an exciting time, as I said earlier on, for us. What you're going to hear tonight are testimonies. Testimonies of what God has done in the lives of at least 8 people here. Friends, we are not here tonight preaching a religion. We're here talking about a person whose name is Jesus Christ. Jesus changes people's lives. And that's what you're going to hear. I remember the night that Christ came into my life and changed me. Radically changed my life and has been working on me ever since that time. You're going to be hearing those testimonies tonight. We have 8 people. Some of them are being baptized. Some of them are coming into church membership. But we've asked each one to come up and share with you what the Lord has done in their hearts and in their lives. So we're going to begin by having 2 of our young people come up, Sophia and Nicole, followed by Margaret Husky, and then Doug Harkness, Will and Maritha Lottering, Jessica Carmelo, and Linda Snowden. So first, we'll have Sophia and Nicole come and share. I don't know where you guys are at, but come on up.
Hi. If you don't know who I am, I'm Nicole, and I'm here tonight because I have accepted Christ and I have decided to get baptized. So, to start off, I was born and raised in a Christian home. I grew up thinking I was a Christian, but I didn't fully understand everything about it or the significance of becoming a Christian because I was just a kid. I believed in God and understood the basics of the gospel, but I didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. So, moving on, at around age 12 or 13, I started to become really distant from God. I rarely prayed or read my Bible, and I didn't have a desire to grow closer to Christ. I also started to get really depressed around that time, and when I did try praying, it felt like I was talking to nobody, so I eventually stopped. Anyway, I don't remember the exact date, but it was around 2 years ago that I truly got saved. Oops, I lost my place. The lessons at Youth Group and STARS really helped me at that time, and along with several Christian books I read, I began praying again, and I tried to read my Bible on a daily basis. The more I did both of those things, the closer I became to God, and the stronger my faith became. My depression went away after turning back to Christ, and I became a much happier person. So as for my life right now, I feel closer to Christ than I've ever been. He's become like a friend and a father to me, and not just this all-powerful being in heaven. And to be able to have a personal relationship with the God who created everything is just amazing. So as for why I'm getting baptized tonight, while reading the Bible one day, I came across several verses about baptism, and one of them was actually the passage that Pastor Noel just read. And the more I read, the more I realized that I wanted to get baptized. So I prayed about it, and I started seeing signs about baptism everywhere, which was really cool, especially since the reason that I stopped praying before was because I thought God was unresponsive. Anyway, since then, the church soon announced that there was going to be a baptism service, and so I decided that this was the perfect chance for me to get baptized, and now I'm here. So, yep, it's short, but that's all I've got.
Hi, my name's Sophia. I'm here today because I've decided to be baptized and become a member at NFBC. I was blessed to be born into a Christian home with wonderful parents and 3 younger siblings. I've always known about Christianity, Jesus, and the gospel message. If someone was to come and ask questions, I would be able to give an answer. But I never understood how to truly be a Christian. There was little interest in my heart, and I never realized how important God was in my life. About 5 years ago, my family started coming to NFBC. That's when my life began to turn around. I don't remember the exact time I was saved, but I remember it was about 2 years ago. Going to STARS and Youth were big impacts on me. I made amazing Christian friends, started singing for church events, and the lessons and devotionals at groups really changed me. Realizing how much I needed Jesus in my life, I asked him to save me and come into my heart. Now I feel at peace with God, and I want so much to have an even closer relationship with him. Prayer and reading the Bible have become much easier than before. Of course, I'm not a perfect person. Many times I have fallen since that moment, but God has always been there to pick me up and give me a fresh start. I am ready to be baptized and show the world that God is my rock. I also want to become a member of this church because the church has done so much for me in my walk with Christ and has given me so much encouragement and love. I would like to read my favorite verse, a verse that has helped me through my walk, Romans 8:39-38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you.
I'm just going to ask Margaret Husky to come.
First, I would like to thank Jesus for this wonderful opportunity for water baptism. My name is Margie Husky, and I was born in Ottawa to wonderful parents who also had 8 other children. I was right in the middle. There were 4 older and 4 younger. Our mother sent us to Sunday school and to church, and we had a happy family life. My second oldest sister, Norma, moved to Montreal because of her job. And she met Don, who was going to McGill University. At that time, I moved to Montreal to be with Norma, and I worked for Bell Canada. Shortly after Norma and Don were married, they left and moved out west. So I moved to Toronto with a friend and continued living there until my husband and I moved to Bowmanville in 2005. So what happened? Well, I became involved with friends who did not go to church, so neither did I. They also liked to party, and so did I. They taught me to swear, and we belonged to a bowling league. But we couldn't just go bowling and have a coffee and go home. Oh no, we'd go bowling and then we'd head to a bar and we're usually there until it closed. I certainly am not proud of the things I've done. And many times I ask God to please, please forgive me and I'll never do it again. Only to turn around and do it again in 2 or 3 weeks. I met my husband, and we have 2 wonderful children who are now adults and have children of their own. God has really blessed me. In 1978, at the Billy Graham Crusade, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And he's been so faithful to me. Although I've traveled through many dark valleys, however, God has always been there for me. The greatest joy I've experienced is the fact that I can call on God at any hour of the day or night, and he's always there for me. I had to learn that the only place my sins could be dealt with was at the cross of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave his life for all those who trusted in him. As for my family, I have 3 precious sisters still living, one in Halifax, Nova Scotia, one in Chilliwack, British Columbia, and the youngest in Manitic, Ontario. We're in contact every week, and we all love the Lord. My husband passed away over a year ago, and there isn't a night that I don't thank God for all the years he gave him to me. and that he isn't going to suffer anymore. One Sunday evening, my mouth is so dry. One Sunday evening, I was watching Dr. Charles Stanley on TV, and he was preaching on the necessity of water baptism. Although I had been baptized, Dr. Stanley explained that I had only been sprinkled on. My mouth is so dry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Are you okay? Do you have water?
No, I'm fine.
Just water. Do you want some water right there?
Just a sip of water.
Sure. Thanks. There you
go. Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. Thank you. You all right?
Thank you. That's great. As I said, one Sunday evening I was watching Charles Stanley on TV, and he was preaching on the necessity of water baptism. And I thought, well, I've already been baptized. However, as I continued to listen, he explained that I had only been sprinkled on. So I called my dear friend Walter, who repeated many of the scriptures that was I heard on the program. But Walter also said, Margie, if this is really on your heart, I suggest you contact Pastor Jacques, which I did, and here I am. I would just like to close with, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth him, Psalm 34:8.
Good evening, Newcastle Baptist Church. And the rest of you. You have a lot of visitors here tonight. My name's Doug Harkness, and I had the privilege to grow up in a home where both parents professed faith in Jesus Christ. I have 7 kids in my family, and I was sent to an Associated Gospel Church as a child, learned the gospel very clearly at home and in Sunday school, which is an incredible gift from God. If you had met me in my teens, you never would have guessed that I knew the gospel at all. I certainly didn't show in my life, and I would never have claimed to be a Christian at that point in my life. And then I met Debbie. Through the military, I was in the reserves, and I had just quit, and my wife had just joined. We had a mutual friend who thought we would be really good for each other. And so we started, in the course of our dating, to talk about various life experiences, including God. And we would sit at the end of a date, I would drop her off at home, and we would sit in the car and talk for 2 hours sometimes about Christ and God and sin and our spiritual backgrounds until I came under such incredible conviction that I couldn't sleep at night. And she was over at my parents' place, where I still lived at the time, in January the 14th, 1977, and she said to me, are we going to do something about this or what? And I said, what do you mean? She said, get saved. You know what? It's possible that there are people in this building here tonight who have heard the gospel from Pastor Jacques or Pastor Noel or from your parents or from your grandparents or from any number of other sources, and you've been resisting. And maybe even as I'm speaking right now, you're resisting. You're feeling like, oh, no, don't do it. I want to encourage you, friend, tonight, if God is tugging at your heart, as you watch these baptisms tonight, as you hear these testimonies, it would be wonderful for this church to celebrate your new birth in Jesus Christ if tonight should be the night. And if no one else has, and I'm sure they have, let me be the one tonight to say, are you going to do something about this or what? So my wife and I, she wasn't my wife at the time, we prayed in my parents' home, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ on January the 14th, 1977, no looking back. In the morning, my mom, who's a very godly lady, I did her funeral a few years ago, I knew she'd be pleased to know. I told her last night, Mama, I gave my life to Christ, and I could barely see the road to drive to work, just tears pouring down my eyes. And I'm pretty sure Mom was in the same condition. So very shortly after that, I married Debbie, and we had 32 years together before she departed this life. God blessed us with two wonderful sons. One is practicing law in Portland, Oregon now, and has three boys of his own. And my older son is in Kitchener and works for waste management. So I have been tremendously blessed. Not too long after we were saved, I became very convinced that God wanted me in ministry. So I went to London Baptist Bible College, graduated in 1984 with a BTH, and spent the next 17 years in Simcoe. We had tried to go to China in missions, and God slammed all those doors. And so I wound up working in the grocery business for 20 years and working in Grace Baptist Church in Simcoe. And then I got a call from a church in Bob Cajun, and I went up to pastor there in 2001, and I just finished up there on January the 10th of this year. And Martin Lamb, whom you know well, said to me, you know, we're looking for representatives for New Tribes Mission. And he challenged me to become a representative for New Tribes Mission. And then Tim Watley, who is our executive director, after a meeting with him, he said, I think you should do this full time and trust God for the money. So I'm trusting God for the money and transitioning into full time representation for New Tribes Mission. But I don't have a church home. And so as I spoke with Martin about an appropriate church home, and Jock and I have been friends for about 15 years, I just thought this would be a natural fit, and I ran that by Martin, and he said that'd be great. So as I approached Pastor Jock, he said that would be a good idea, and I'm hoping you agree. And if you do, tonight, I become part of your family. And I would appreciate that, and I would like you to... Yeah, you do that now, but when you get to know me. I would just like to encourage you how this works. As a pastor and a man with a pastor's heart, when you accept someone into ministry, into your church fellowship, you're accepting a certain level of responsibility to pray and support and encourage, which we all need. But you also gain the benefits of participating in what God does through their lives. And I would like you to know, I won't be here very often. I've shared that with Pastor Jacques. My responsibilities will keep me on the road. However, I covet your prayers, but would you recognize that if you do accept me into your fellowship, that I represent you on the road as well, and you get a part in whatever God chooses to do in and through my life. So I'm here tonight to apply for membership. Do I need to say any more? Jacques's a good friend. He wouldn't say anything else, would he?
Good evening. My name is Marietta Lottering, and when we told our children we are getting members of this church, Marissa said, Mom, don't cry. Please don't cry. I'm already feeling like this. I would like to share my spiritual journey with you. When Sophia was talking, I thought that was so much how my journey was. I grew up in a Christian home. Both my parents and my mom still is devout Christians. And we had devotions every night, and I know Jesus died for me on the cross, and I believe that. Yet later on in my life, we got married, we had two children, and I said to her one day, I don't know, I don't feel anything inside, I don't want to go to church anymore. But God was good, because he says in Philippians, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And he sent the Holy Spirit. And since then, I came alive. He's my helper. He's my comforter. He's my guide. And I'm so grateful for that. I would like to thank God that he saved me. For it's by grace that I've been saved through faith and not for myself. It's a gift from God.
So I'm Will Lottring, Loretta's husband. So Pastor Jacques had said, you know, possibly just to tell the congregation, why do I want to become a member? And for me, the church is a spiritual body. It's a body of fellow believers. And as in Peter 1 and 1 Peter 2 verses 4 and 5, you know, it's how a spiritual brick relates to a building is only how one brick is put together properly with other bricks to form that building. And we felt that need coming to church, you know, that we should become members. It's in this spiritual building, you know, that we can actually demonstrate our relation to God. It's in this spiritual building that we can share our gifts. It's in this spiritual building, you know, that we can, you know, we feel safe in this spiritual building. Because Jesus had promised Peter, you know, the church will prevail against all the powers of hell, you know, and this is where I feel safe. My testimony, so I was born in South Africa, similar to Marietta, you know, I was baptized by sprinkling as an infant, went to church, went to Sunday school, then went to university, obtained my medical degree, and during that period, you know, I became the modern self-made man. I relied on myself, I looked after myself, and I lived in this false belief, you know, that you find in the Invictus poem. I'm the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. You know, that's the way I lived. But thank God, you know, God was good, you know. So he slowly but surely stripped away all these trimmings, and I took away everything until I had nothing. And as Pastor Jacques had prayed, you know, a few sermons ago, you know, when you have nothing but God, you know that you have nothing but God. That's the only surety, the only certainty that we have. And it was in this moment of despair, possibly, you know, it was possibly weeks of it, months of it, you know, as things were slipping away, that I cried out to Jesus one night. And not instantaneously, but in the early morning hours, I audibly got an answer from Jesus. And, you know, that peace that supersedes all human understanding, you know, just overwhelmed me. So a question, you know, did God know that I was going to cry out to him? Of course he did. You know, he put everything in place properly. He gave me a wonderful wife. And she called a person she barely knew. You know, it was someone that I spoke to about, you know, months beforehand. A person that had also shared his testimony with me and his miraculous salvation. And at that time when I needed him most, Marietta called him. And he came and took me on his wing. And he said, you know, despite all my reservations, all the questions I had about church, the only thing that I had to answer, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Not anyone else's. Not other people. What is your relationship? So has it been easy since then? No. I mean, but I've never done anything alone since then. You know, I've been walking in step with Jesus Christ. And as we sang this morning, you know, nothing is comparable to the promise of Jesus Christ, or the promise that I have in Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to that. So with that, you know, we left South Africa, went to England. At that stage, you know, lots of trepidation. In one night, you lose everything. You lose your family. I always say people start a lava, you lose your plumber, your electrician, everything. So we had to start all over again. And there were some of our fellow believers, you know, that told us, do not be worried. You know, God has already prepared people to receive you on the other side. And it was unbelievable. As we arrived in England, I opened a newspaper the second day, saw a fellowship, you know, that we could join. Marietta saw the same advertisement. We joined them, and they said, you know, it's unbelievable. We've been praying for a family with kids, and here you are. So it was in England, you know, a year later that we were baptized by immersion. Then about 3 years later, we came to Canada. So I can just ask you for prayer, prayer for myself, you know, as I think it's in Exodus 33 where Moses had asked, you know, that we ask God to show us His ways that we can please Him more. And that we not only talk about God, but that we talk to God and with God. And that we can intercede on our nation's behalf.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Carmelo. As some of you may know me, I've been going to this church for almost 4 years. My backstory, I'll keep it very short. I grew up in a Christian family, specifically Pentecostal, and we received daily devotions. We were homeschooled. I was about 7 years old when I asked Jesus into my heart. And at that time, I didn't know much about sin or the role of the church. And over like 13 years, I've accumulated a lot of knowledge. I have strengthened, you know, character. But even as, you know, I am like these 13 years, I still have to encounter these pivotal arguments against Christianity. One of them is, you're a Christian, but you still experience so much sorrow. Why go for it? The other is, Jessica, you're so nice. You're so loving. You're so accepting. How could you be a Christian? And thankfully, there are two verses that I use to combat these arguments. The first one is 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, what that means is that the contrition and the repentance and the humility that you experience accepting Jesus into your heart is not the usual pity party, woe is me. It is recognizing sin and feeling such a great emotion for humanity and realizing their faults, but also looking towards Jesus and His love that He's given to us. Yes, I have experienced many sorrows in my life. I have depression, and my family has generational curses, but I look towards God, and I know that Jesus has conquered that, and that's why, as many may regret being a Christian, I don't at all. I realize that there is that, even with that godly sorrow, there's always hope. It is nothing to be ashamed of. And as being for the world, the church, and what it means to the world, I look to a verse, Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And this is very important to understand. The savior of that salt is not being a stereotype. It's having the love of God and showing it to the world. And that's why I like to show that towards other people. I've also gone into conversations with other Christians and other people who have difficulty expressing love and trying to use ways that are, you know, not as fruitful. I know a man who is 30 years old. He's making a documentary about his struggles with mental illnesses. And I've told him something that made me realize something about Christianity. I told him, I just don't believe I carry that light. and it's true. I don't want to live showing myself, projecting myself. I basically live to show the light of Jesus Christ. And that is the savior that this verse talks about. As for why I want to be a member of this church, I've known it for such a long time, and I've known the people here. They're wonderful people, and they really consider the role of the church in this world into Jesus Christ. There's this other verse that I consider to be very pivotal as being a member of the church, not just Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, but to being in the body of Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A lot of people mistake this verse being that the church has to imitate man and woman, but it's not. Man and woman has to imitate Christ and the church. And it just gives me, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that this church will follow that role. They'll recognize that Christ as a husband, as a devoted husband, probably the best husband, but it doesn't stop there. As Christians, we know that Christ loves all the world, and he died for all the world. Hence the saying from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And as a member of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, I want to continue showing that message through my actions, through my work, through my singing, and everything I'll do, even beyond if I leave this church, I will continue to show that light.
Good evening. My name is Linda Snowden, and my testimony will be a little different, for I have family here who I love dearly who are not saved. First of all, this is not just stories written by a man. It is the true word of God, God-breathed, written by his chosen prophets through the Holy Spirit. I am standing here today before you as a born-again Christian. John 3:3, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." I have been saved by grace, a free gift of God, his plan of salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, for no one can boast. There is only one way to eternal life. Jesus alone saves." Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." I have chosen to follow Jesus, my Savior, and be baptized. John 10:27-28, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." It has not been an easy road for me, but as Pastor Noel said, God always wins. Thank God. I was born and raised and still live in Bowmanville. My mother's name was Ida. My dad's name is Elton. I have an older brother, Ron, and two younger sisters, Carolyn and Donna, who is my best friend. And she is here today. I am married to Jerry, and we have one son, Jeremy, and one beautiful grandson, Sean. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My life before Jesus, I was lost until the age of 61. In my 61st year, I was believing lies of the evil one. He is the prince of this world. It began with emails from a friend's brother. I clicked on these links of stories going on around the world. I became obsessed and kept searching and searching, not knowing who was really at work, the evil one. I came across a deceiver, a false teacher, believing his lies. Does he really exist? I do not know. I believed and seen chemtrails in the sky. I know others have seen and heard about them. This is pure evil. I believe the trees were not real. The moon was not real. The Holocaust did not happen. This was just the tip of the iceberg. I was in such trouble. Many in my family witnessed what I was doing and saying and what I was going through. I tell you again, I was not mentally ill. I did not just snap out of it. I did not miraculously heal myself. I am testifying to you. I received a miracle. I am healed of all the deceit and lies. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God for his mercy. Miracles are given not only to heal, but also as signs pointing to Jesus. He has shown himself through me. And what you have witnessed, believe. Praise God that God's goodness is more powerful than Satan's evil. You believe in God and Jesus, then know Satan is real. He would like you to believe he is not real. 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I was being devoured. I knew Pastor Jacques when he was 16. I seen him years later as a police officer, then as a pastor, and Tatiana works for my doctor. This is no coincidence. I was clueless about what was happening to me. I was standing at my kitchen table one day, and I said out loud, God is real. Jesus is real. God sent me to this church. The spiritual battle was on, and God gave me no place else to go but to Jesus. My first Women of Faith Bible study, I stood up and told them what I was experiencing. And if I could not tell Christian what I was going through, where else could I go? I could not tell my family, as they could not understand. Thank you to the Women of Faith for your help and prayers. I thank everyone here in this church who prayed for me and encouraged me. I give special thanks to Pastor Jacques and Tatiana. I could not have made it through without you. And I thank God every day for someone he sent to me. She has been at my side through it all, and she still is to this day. Thank you, Pamela. I have seen into the spiritual world. I have seen and experienced so much. I was so fearful. The Lord had me write this down. Thessalonians 3:3. The Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He is faithful. He has strengthened me and protects me. I have had three powerful hands-on experiences of his protection against the evil one. Here is one. Saturday, February 13th, 2016, I am asleep. I see a dark tunnel with fire at the end. I was looking at it. Then one grip on my right hand. Then the second stronger grip. Then the third powerful grip, which pulled me away. I yelled out. I heard my husband's voice saying, "You are okay. You are okay. You are okay." I woke up. It was 12:30 a.m. My husband said nothing to me. I am so thankful to Jesus. He has forgiven me. My sins are washed away. Praise God. Again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why do I want to join this church? God sent me here. The true word of God is preached here. I was saved here. What I have experienced and seen, there is a reason. He is preparing me, and it will be used powerfully one day. I know this. I will, and I have, picked up that cross. I am willing to serve my King for the glory of God. There is family here. You see it in me, and you believe. You believe, but you have not given your lives to Jesus. So what if you were to die today? What would you say when you stand in front of God's judgment seat? And you will, and you did not accept Jesus as your Savior. I was not sure. I was not ready. I was worried about what others would say. There will be no second chance, and there are two places we will all go. Where will you go? John 14:6, I am the way. and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus loves you. He is waiting. Come to him. Do not delay, for you may not have tomorrow. Today is a good day for your salvation. I love you. I love my family. Accept his free gift of salvation.
Amen. After Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was put into a tomb for 3 days, and by God's almighty power, the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You heard that earlier on tonight when Pastor Noel was reading from Acts chapter 2, and the Bible says that God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, and he made him both Lord and Christ. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he spoke to his disciples, and this is what he said. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus Christ has given us the command to make disciples. And when we make those disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that God has commanded us to do. So we have 4 people that are willing to follow Christ tonight in the waters of baptism. Sophia, I'm going to ask you to come. Sophia, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that he rose again on the 3rd day?
Yes, I do.
Have you personally turned away from your sins and asked Jesus Christ to save you?
Yes, I have.
Is it your desire to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Then upon your confession of faith and in obedience to the commandment of Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nicole, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and on the 3rd day he rose again?
Yes.
Have you personally turned away from your sins and asked Jesus Christ to save you?
Yes.
Is it your desire now to take up your cross and follow Jesus for the rest of your life, no matter what it costs?
Yes.
Then upon your confession of faith and obedience to the commandment of Christ, and I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Here you go, sweetie. Here's your glasses. God bless you. God bless you. That's great. You're welcome, Margaret. Are you okay? Okay. You be careful. Yeah, you're going to be all right? Okay, you just take one step over. That's it. Good. Good. There you go. That's it. There's a step right there, yeah. There you go. You go right down to the bottom. There you go. And have a seat. Very good. Very good. Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, bring your hands up close to your chest. Margaret, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day?
Yes, I do.
Have you personally turned away from your sins and asked Jesus Christ to save you?
Yes, I have.
Is it your desire to follow Jesus now, taking up your cross every single day, no matter what it costs?
Yes, it is.
Then upon your confession of faith and in obedience to the commandment of Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Just there you go. There you go. Are you okay?
Yes.
Good. Good.
I think so.
Here, I'll hold your towel.
Okay.
There we go.
I should use that step, I think.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you, Tony.
This has been a hard one for you.
No, it's not been hard at all. Don't you worry at all, Margaret. Here, can you do that? There we go. There we go. You hold on to my roof. Don't you worry about me getting wet. There you go. Here, Margaret. Tony, can you walk her down? And get her. Thanks, Tony. God bless you, Linda. You did a great job. I know. Well, Linda, we go back a long, long time.
Yeah.
40 years.
Yeah.
40 years? 35, 40 years. Linda, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day?
Yes, I do.
Have you personally put your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins?
Yes, I have.
Is it your desire now to follow Jesus all the days of your life, taking up your cross no matter what it costs?
Yes, I do.
Then upon your confession of faith and in obedience to the commandment of Christ, and I'll baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, Linda. Amen. God bless you, Linda. I know. Are you okay? You're welcome. God bless you, too. Here. There you go. Are you going to be able to go now? Well, as they're gone to get changed, I do want to share just a few words from the text that I read earlier on tonight. I'm not going to be very long. The text says this. I read this right at the beginning of the service tonight. I want you to listen to these words. The Apostle Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. At Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe with all our hearts that Jesus truly is the Son of God. We believe that He lived a sinless life, that He died upon a Roman cross, that He was placed in a tomb. And we believe that by God's almighty power, He raised His Son from the dead on the third day. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of five things. First, the gospel of Jesus Christ is marked by sovereign power. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power to change a person's life. I mean, you think of who the Apostle Paul was before he met Jesus Christ. He was Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted the church of Christ. It was the Apostle Paul's responsibility. It wasn't the Apostle Paul then, he was Saul of Tarsus. It was his responsibility to go and arrest Christians and put them to death. He persecuted the church. That's what he says. He says, I'm the least of all the apostles. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And one day while he was on his way to Damascus to arrest other Christians, he met Jesus Christ. Now guys, Jesus changed a persecutor and made him a preacher. He transformed a maniac into a missionary. He took somebody who hated the gospel of God's grace and made him a preacher of God's grace. Only the power of God can do that. You've heard testimonies tonight from people that are doctors. You've heard testimonies tonight from young people that were raised in Christian homes. A woman who's a housewife who just came to know Christ in the last year. That's the power of God. And as I said earlier on, this is not religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because he understood that it was marked by sovereign power. Number two, he understood that it was marked by a singular purpose. Listen to what he says. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Listen, friends, the gospel does for lost men what nothing else can do. It saves the soul. It saves the soul. And you're probably asking yourself tonight, what is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? Well, first let me say this. Salvation means to be rescued from the guilt of sin. Every single one of us here tonight has fallen short of God's glory. That's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has broken God's law. Every one of us here tonight is guilty of sin. We all need forgiveness. We all need to be saved. And the gospel alone can save us. Jesus said it like this, what shall it profit a man or what shall it profit a woman if they gain the whole world and yet lose their own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What's more important than knowing that you've got peace with God? That's what the Bible is saying. And not only does the gospel rescue us from the guilt of our sin, but it rescues us from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says the Lord is not slow in fulfilling His promises. Some count slowness, but He's patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says, do you presume on the riches of His kindness and His forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and stubborn heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment is going to be revealed. We may not like to hear this, but there is a day of judgment coming. The Bible teaches us that it is appointed for man to die once and after that to face the judgment. If you leave this world without having Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will face God's judgment. That's the beauty of the gospel. The gospel, friends, saves us not only from the guilt of sin, but it saves us from the penalty of sin. It's a gospel well worth believing and trusting. Number three, the gospel is marked not only by sovereign power, but it's also marked by a simple plan. Romans 1:16 tells us in no uncertain terms how it is that fallen creatures, that guilty people, sinners like us, can be reconciled to a holy God. It's not by works of righteousness that we could ever do, but it's only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Paul says it like this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I was raised in the Catholic Church. I always believed my whole life that if my good works one day outweighed my bad works, that would somehow make me right with God. I always believed that. I didn't realize that salvation was a free gift, because I could never earn God's favor. I could never earn His love. I remember one day speaking to the Catholic priest next door. And I said to him, I said, Peter, if you were to die right now, die at this moment, are you absolutely sure that you would go to heaven? He's no longer there. And he said to me, he says, Jacques, no one can be sure. And I said, Peter, you know what the Bible says? It says this in 1 John chapter 2, at 5. It says, this is the testimony, or this is the record. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. When my ears first heard that, when I was 17 years old, that God has given us eternal life as a gift, that God gave us that as Jesus died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, when my ears heard that, my heart leaped for joy. I remember walking downstairs into my room, getting down on my knees and saying, Jesus, I need You to save me. And He came into my life and changed it. That's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's by grace we are saved through faith. This is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by any works, so that no one can boast. Number four, the gospel is also marked by a solemn pledge. The gospel that I'm preaching tonight is offered freely to everyone in this world. God is not a respecter of persons. The gospel is offered to everyone, regardless of their race or their nationality, their age, their gender, their social rank, their degree of education, their culture. It's offered to men and to women, to young people and to old, to rich, to poor, to wise and foolish, to both black and white, and to both Jew and Gentile. It's offered to every class of people, to every color of people, and to every condition of people on the face of this planet. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. The Bible says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Friends, I want to tell you tonight, anyone here tonight who doesn't know Jesus Christ, if you hear the words of this message and you sense the deep conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Christ, drawing you to repentance and faith, when you come to Jesus in brokenness, in humility, and acknowledge your sin and ask Jesus Christ to save you, I tell you tonight, according to the gospel, Jesus will receive you. Jesus Christ will save you. Jesus Christ will change you, and He'll make you His own. That's the beauty of the gospel of Christ. And finally, the gospel is marked by a satisfying payoff. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Then it says this, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Man has two great big problems. The first is this, he thinks he's righteous and therefore acceptable to God. The second problem is this, contrary to what he thinks or believes, man is not righteous. He can't even produce his own righteousness that would ever be acceptable to God, right? God is perfectly holy and we are not. The beauty of the gospel of Christ is that when someone flees to Christ and lays hold of Christ by faith, Jesus takes him, receives him, and God declares that person to be righteous in his sight because of what Christ has done through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. That's the beauty of the gospel of Christ. Everything that man looks for in religion, peace with God, acceptance by God, a standing before God, a right relationship with God is not given in religion. It's given to the person who puts their trust in Jesus Christ alone to save them. Friend, I hope and pray that tonight, as you've heard these testimonies, As you've witnessed these people following Christ in the waters of baptism, as you've heard this gospel message, that you would turn to Christ, that you would put your trust in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins. This is the day of salvation. This is the hour where Christ may be calling you. You can be absolutely sure right now, if you were to die, that you would have peace with God if you simply come to Christ and ask Him, trust Him to be your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. I thank you, Father, tonight for every single person who shared their testimonies. I thank you, Father, for what you've done in their lives. I thank you, Father, for Sophia and for Nicole. I thank you for Margaret. I thank you for Will and for Maritha. I thank you for Jessica. I thank you for Linda. I thank you, Father, that you've moved in every single one of these people's lives, that you've redeemed them by your grace. You've saved them. You've changed them. Father, you're still working in them. I thank you for saving me. I thank you so much for saving so many of us in this room tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that salvation is a free gift that comes from you. And Father, I pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here tonight who's never come to Christ, who's never trusted in Jesus Christ alone, that tonight, Lord God, you would move by your grace, you would move by your Spirit, and bring them to the foot of the cross, where they too can know that their sins are forgiven as they trust in him. We will glory, Father, in our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.